Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So in this final week of the retreat, let's practice celebrating awareness, the constant companion in our lives. There are two of us housed in this body, doing the shopping together in the market and tickling each other while fixing the evening's food. Now when I wake, all the internal instruments play the same music. Beloved, what love mischief can we do for the world today? Hafiz. Set alarms throughout the day. When the timer goes off, just notice. Notice that there is noticing. Be aware, regardless of the content in the field of awareness. Awareness is. Delight in the awareness that the two of us housed in this body are really one. At the end of each day, make a recording that celebrates the affectionate witness that walks the way with you. For extra credit, make a recording that appreciates the sincerity, clarity, faith of the awareness practitioner that walked the way all year. Make sure that your companion in this conversation is the mentor and not Screwtape. He is down, but not out. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller? Okay, let's try someone else. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
Wow, I get to talk to you again. And this last week, I it's hard to express the happiness, the joy of what this year has brought, or what this life has brought through practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I was in meditation this morning, it just became really clear that the sounds sort of crazy, but the angels are everywhere, and
yep.
That each of us is an agent of love. I mean that we're all one in that. We're the angels. I mean, whether we're in body or not, I mean, it really, people are going to think we're nuts, but who cares?
Who cares? Yeah. And who cares? Because it's so clear when you see it, and it's so impossible to talk about.
It is. And that's what came to me in meditation is that, I don't know if this makes sense, but as I was in meditation and experiencing this, the wonder of it all, that just that I have that place to go to, that I have that, there is that quiet place to be and experience it, and I don't need to, none of it sounds right, but that there's no need to share it. That the experience is enough, and yet you want to share that that joy, that experience with everyone.
But here's the thing, Jan, which I think you know, the way we share it is to be it.
Yes, absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. Because that's the other thing that dropped in is, may I be an agent of love today and always.
Yes.
I mean, to be the love that I am, that we are. Yes, it really is everything.
It is. It is. That's why, we go to that place of, we'll just twinkle. It's fun for us to talk about it, to try to talk about it, because it's joyful. Even to try to talk about it is joyful, right?
Yes.
And yet, we know we're just experiencing the joy of trying to talk about it. Because we're looking at it, right? It's not like we're going to say anything that's going to make any difference, right? And then with other people, it's not their deal. We might try to talk about it in the language that they use, or we could just be with them in unconditional love and know that that's the very best we can ever offer.
Yes. And what dropped in as you were saying that, Sherry, is I think part of the joy for me in my experience in the last several months is being in those, that I experience dark places, that I there those experiences happen, and that there is the faith, the knowing that that's part of life. It's what we talked about on, I guess, on Tuesday night, the crests, you know, the low points and the high points. It's all part of it. And
yes.
And it's, we're in school.
It's not a mistake. In fact, it's how we got here.
Mm.
Right? And we can trust that this same how we got here is how we're going to keep going.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. And as was said sometime in this last week, just to deeper places of that experience. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, until those dark places are not something that we fear or try to avoid or think there's anything wrong with. It's just how it is. And how I am with it is everything.
Yes. What you just said is exactly what I was trying to point to is experiencing the dark places or the low points, whatever we call it, and knowing that's not a problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's just. It's the best. Just the best.
We all keep saying it. And we get to share that, and then it's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jan. Go happy.
Yeah. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jan. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller. Oh, hang on, Sherry. I don't know why my cue is not working. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Ashwini. Hello, Sherry. Hi, Sangha. This is Anne from England.
Hey, Anne.
Hi. Hey, so nice to be here on this last week.
Mm-hmm.
What a gift. Oh, what am I going to talk about? I guess I want to talk about being real, about all the parts dropping off and all the things that I've let go of as a part of awareness practice. I mean, I had a massive long list. I'm not going to call out, but it was surprisingly long. I think what two things this year has taught me is one, there's definitely nothing wrong with me, and definitely, and two, that so my main job is teaching. I teach different subjects, and it's mostly one-to-one, and what I've noticed is that what I teach is, it's not immaterial, but it's secondary to how I teach, being present, being that safe space, and being able to hold that space. And this year has taught me how to do that for myself. So I noticed that has now permeated into all parts of my life, teaching, relationships, and it just feels huge.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It is huge if there is that realization that there's nothing wrong with you, right? I mean, is the foundation of this practice, that the self-hate is what keeps us from being in touch with us as spiritual beings. So spiritual practice begins when the self-hate ends, right? Now we get to have a chance to be in relationship with what is or what is us. It's the place we start. And as you said, that realization sort of permeates into how we are because of how we can be with ourselves. I mean, attention on awareness, and awareness being the angel that walks with us all the time, or the mentor or anything else, keeping that attention there or being able to have that be our primary relationship really changes how we are, because it comes from a completely different place. And then we talk about it as being present or being a safe space or being a social relief or being loved.
Yeah. They're all synonyms, aren't they, for being lit up. Yeah.
Yes.
For twinkling. Yeah.
We're twinkling. Yes. And that, I think Sherry just said it to our previous caller, that's how we share it. That's how we, because that's what we are in the world, that's how we are experienced. Not only do we experience ourselves that way, that's how we are experienced.
Absolutely. And what came along with that, what it feels like in the body, is that the lens through which I look is completely different. It goes back to ego, but I come out of it more. You know, that metaphor of taking off the glasses, or that feeling, you know, that it can feel that. That's like a visceral feeling now. It's like, oh, which lens have I got on? I'm okay. Uh-huh. I want these ones. Yeah. I choose these ones.
Seeking you in that way, right? So the practice of awareness makes us aware when we're ego identified, and calls us back to it, calls us back to ourselves.
Yeah, and it's like that's kind of like where I wanted to be, but even the striving has gone, and it's like it's like now it's there when I'm not looking for it, and it's but that comes with lots of practice as well, though.
It's the devotion that leads to the faith that leads to the devotion, and in that place the striving becomes something else, right? But you have to you have to be sincere and try and practice, and then the transformation is what happens, rather than I strive in order to make the transformation happen.
And one of the things that's helped me with that is going back to the book, There's Nothing Wrong With You, and doing loads of recordings, listening to the insurances and the love letters every morning first thing. So that's what I wake up into. And then everything else flowers from there, you know. And it's like I could describe it a million different ways, but it doesn't really matter. It just comes when I was least expecting it, and it was like, whoa, that's what it feels like to realize nothing's wrong with me. I'm so grateful, Ashwini. Thank you so much for this year, and Sherry, and everybody. Thanks, Sangha, for all your sharing and participation. It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
I feel really, really grateful.
Thank you. Yes, really, really grateful. Go happy.
Thank you, Sherry. Bye-bye. Go happy.
Bye. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hooray. It's Janice in Victoria.
Oh, hey, Janice.
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini and everybody. Oh, my goodness. Fabulous year. And as I'm sitting here being so grateful for all of it, I just realized that, there's so much to say. Ever-expanding faith. And that's it's the constant devotion, I think, of this practice being offered to all of us. There's something about that. I feel like I'm always held, and as it continues next year and all of the other offerings, I will continue to be held and saying, heck, yes, I'm showing up.
And didn't you love that that little circle of faith to devotion, which leads to faith, which leads to devotion, which leads to faith, which leads to devotion? You know, when we just go round and round and round.
Happily. So happily. And I was thinking about what dropped in for me is that when my husband first met me, one of the earliest gifts he gave me was the little book, The Velveteen Rabbit.
Ah, lovely.
And I used to call him my, the skin horse, his hair. He was bald, so I always said his his head was all loved off, right from the beginning. And there was something, you know, we had been through completely different experiences in our lives, but there is something with reading that that it just tuned to my heart, right? Mm-hmm. It, you know, brought tears to my eyes. And now I've had a whole more ton of experiences, and I have those same feelings. So what it showed me was, you know, that love, it is who I am, who all we are. Mm-hmm. Just revealing more, and well, we get it revealed as we go through life.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, if we're very lucky, and we are amongst the very lucky, right?
So fortunate,
because so many people don't have that. I mean, we could say, you know, you are the love. You are love. That's what you are. But the conditioning, the life experiences have been so difficult that they can't see it. They can't feel it. They don't know it. And so for us to have been through, as was talked about earlier, so many difficult times, painful, suffering experiences in life, and that those brought us to a place of realizing that we are the love that is. How wonderful that whole process is, and how much we would hope to be that, as people have been talking about, that just presence of unconditional love, so that whenever anyone is around us, the thing that they experience is the love that they are. Because that's what's happened to us. And it has worked.
It has worked. And and it's that same way that I, out of all the books on the palliative shelf that I could have picked at the hospital where my father was dying, that little tiny book, that which you are seeking is causing you to seek, did the exact same thing, you know, without mm-hmm. you having your name on the book, knowing who the author was, but it was talking to me, but the parts of me that everything rang true. And now I get to have that experience again when we look at it in the new year.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited for it. Yes, yes, I've been reading it myself and enjoying it.
And
misprints and all. Yeah, typos and all.
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, I love those. Mm-hmm. No, and I did a puppet making. I just want it to play. And so there was a weekend workshop up the street with a guy who used to work for the Muppets. And he was just, you know, you got to make a puppet. And I have no idea what the puppet would be. So that's really good because you don't have a preconceived idea. And, it kind of revealed itself over time and things. And I was working away and a whole group of people I was pretty quiet working away, and I said, I think I'm creating an alter ego. And somebody said, that's what we're all doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. But I could, because you could throw that voice, you could do the things, you know, it'll say things that actually it's kind of fun because it's very bold.
Uh-huh.
And conditioning doesn't have a chance to kind of like, you know, veto something because it's kind of like pretending it's not me. It's this uh-huh. thing out there. But it's actually kind and true things that it's saying. It kind of cuts, you know, that's what I discovered anyhow. And when I the last thing I wanted to say was about adequacy. I used to feel that life was always proving to me that I was adequate to whatever was thrown at me. And there was something about the word adequate felt like there's a little bit of the idea, the notion of deficiency or something, like just good enough, you know. But it's somehow I don't know what the word would be, but it's the somehow like when I step out in the morning or go for a little walk, like, oh my God, this whole world is out there. It doesn't matter if it's a torrential rain or what. I'm going to discover things, and I'm so excited. I don't know what they will be, and I'm just open. And it's something way beyond adequacy.
Well, I'll offer one as I let you go, okay?
Okay.
That you are fantastically adequate.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, I'm fine.
Yes. Yes. All right. Thanks, Janice.
Yes, thanks.
Take good care.
Yes, Gasho.
Gasho, go happy.
Thanks, Janice. And Janice, I can't mute you, so if you would mute yourself, I'll call back in. And here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Chrissy from England.
Hey, Chrissy.
Hi. Oh, I'm so grateful to be on after in this last week, almost the last one. So I just want to add my thanks to all the other people that have said that this year has been so unbelievably transformative, and I am so, so grateful for everything that I've learned and that I am still learning. And in particular, what I've been sitting with these last few weeks, I think I called in a few weeks ago and said that I liked the meditations on things like gratitude and compassion because I could find myself in a place where I was experiencing those things, and that was nice. But the meditations on presence was just like a bit, okay, I'm aware that there's a tree and I'm aware that there's a flower, and I was encouraged to sit with it. I think the phrase you used was, how do you know that you're, this is not a good meditation? It's because I'm not just aware of the tree. There's a part of my mind's aware of the tree, but there's also a big part of my mind evaluating the experience and comparing it to the mythical other tree that it, and so I just, for a little while, just sat with just sitting with these ideas. And in doing the daily recollection one day, the word truth just struck me. I turned to the perfect nature of truth, the guidance again and yet again. And it was just like a kind of bolt from the blue that I wasn't doing this because I was trying to feel gratitude or be more compassionate or be more patient with my family. I mean, all of those things are benefits that have arisen because of this. But actually, and probably those are the things that led me to practice in the first place. I wanted to get somewhere, change things in my life. But it suddenly struck me that this is true. I am love. My ordinary perception of the world is false. It's not right. And the perfect nature of truth. And that just, I know it sounds ridiculous because that's what you've been teaching all year, but it never really occurred to me that that was actually really, really real.
Well, it doesn't sound ridiculous at all, because it perfectly articulates the process of practice, right? That what brings us to practice is something that we're seeking that we couldn't articulate other than in the words that you just used, I want it to be different or whatever it is. But it is a sensing that there's way more than the perception that I have of the world that is the world. But we have to arrive at it, and we have to go through the process of the Velveteen Rabbit in order for that to arise, right? So here I am. I can be present with compassion and gratitude, and here's a reflection of being present with more. And there's the invitation, and there's the practitioner, and there's the practice, and then life reveals it to us in a structure that we've been reciting for as long as we've been part of practice, but that's the modality through which life is speaking to me and speaks to me all the time when I'm ready to be here. And it does transform us completely. And the significance of it is enormous, right? This is the truth. It's true. This is who I am.
Yeah.
It's my ordinary perception that is false. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it was like that. And then it was like, okay, so now what? It's true. How do I get there? And then further on in that daily recollection, I read the words or saw the words as if for the first time, the way is clear beyond the gates of thought and desire. And I saw those words or heard those words in a completely different way, because up until then, I'd always just kind of thought, the tone of it was a bit like, it's really simple, you just have to go past the gates of thought and desire, so the way is clear, like, come on, it's really easy. And then I was like, hang on, that's not what I'm hearing now. Now I'm hearing it's, when you are beyond the gates of thought and desire, everything becomes clear. It doesn't mean that it's just so easy that you can just decide. And the reason my tree is just a tree is because I'm sitting with the tree with a whole load of other thoughts about thought and desire. I'm not able to just be with the tree and absolutely nothing but the tree. It's thoughts and desires. And as I sat with that idea, I suddenly just got this sense, I mean, just glimpses of the power of being beyond the gate of thought and desire, that it was more imagery than thoughts. It was just like this kind of shimmering force field that means like nothing can bother you. Like everything is perfect. And no matter what's going on in my life and the dramas I'm creating, the authentic me is just breathing, just being completely fine all the time. And that has been so comforting and so helpful. And, you know, I'm really resonating with what I'm hearing in these calls about ever-expanding faith, because once you accept this is true, I don't want to live a delusion anymore, then you have faith in the process, and then you have the commitment to, well, I just need to keep practicing because, you know, I'm not at Carnegie Hall yet. There's a long way to go, but I'm here for it. And the glimpses are beautiful and reinforce the faith. And just that, and, you know, I mean, it's Christmas, and the other imagery that dropped in when just recently as I was sitting with these ideas of being beyond the gate of thought and desire was Jesus on the cross. Like, no matter what was happening to him, he didn't lose his mind of love. Like, he was had compassion for the people who were killing him. And that's the power of this, you know, that if you are able to just be the love that you are and not lose sight of that, no matter what is happening to you. And so that was an image that kind of brought me to tears, and was thinking, how can, you know, I am stressing about too many people to host over Christmas, and, you know, like, all of that's actually wonderful. All these, I can just embrace everything with love and gratitude, and recognize that even though I get in my own way most of the time, still I have faith that underneath all of that, it's true. I am love. That is who I am. So thank you so much for this year.
Thank you, Chrissy. I will not do justice in my reflection to everything that you said, but the couple of places that I so wanted to underline and appreciate you for saying is, it's faith in the process, right? Because the revelation happened, and the question was, okay, I see this, what now? And the revelation happened again, just further down the expression of that framework of truth, right? And then that place of, because that process is bound to keep happening. Here's this expansive arriving of insight, and then it closes over again. But the faith that you talk about, having had that glimpse, is what makes us devoted to staying here for additional glimpses. And that place of, you know, when there is the stressing over cooking Christmas, the image of Christ on the cross allows us to feel compassion for the person who's stressing over Christmas, right? It's a very practical love. We are being crucified in our own ways and being transformed into the love that we are in every moment that we feel distinct or separate from that.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's such an exciting journey.
It is, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Yes. So thank you so much for laying it out.
Well, thank
laying
you.
Out that
so
excitement
happy.
For us. You
too. Thank you so much for this year, and I can't wait for the next one.
Me too. Thanks, Chrissy.
Thank you.
Well, that was a stunner.
Well, yes.
I think that brings us to the end of this
incredible
call.
Show. Yes.
Yeah.
All
right. I was just so somebody said to me recently something about we're all just walking one another home, mm-hmm. and that's just so what this feels like with every mm-hmm. what every person is telling us about the particulars of their journey. It just mm-hmm. it just reveals so much for me, I hope. I can only guess for everybody because everybody's saying that. And mm-hmm. it's just so beyond words. So mm-hmm. thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ashwini.
Go happy. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.